Welcome to the Jewish Prayer Podcast, where we uncover the depth, beauty, and relevance of the timeless words of Jewish prayer. Here is your host, Rabbi Yossi Lindenbaum.
Okay, welcome back. Trying something new in the recording. I got a few comments from some of our devoted listeners that the sound quality leaves what to be desired. So I'm trying a new method. Okay, let me know what you think. I'm curious to hear. Let's recap where we're up to. So we just introduced, we didn't even start the next section of the prayers, and that's called Psukei Dezimra, and we explained that's a time of pruning or of songs. Songs meaning to connect, songs meaning to pull away the separation and to connect to Hashem. I think the now is an appropriate time to discuss what's called the different nusachs. That means the different versions of prayer. I think people get very confused on this point. There's a lot of people ask me about this, and the reason I'm bringing it up now is because there are actually different order of how we start this Psukei Dezimra. And so let me just explain it a second. There's something called Ashkenaz and Sfard. So there's two different uses of that terminology. Okay, and so there's Ashkenazi and Sfardi, and then there's Nusach Ashkenaz and Nusach Sfard. So let's just explain that. There's the pretty confusing type. I'm going to translate everything, but I guess the way to show the confusion is I myself am Ashkenazi Jew, and I daven Sfard. So why do I do that? What does that mean? And let's explain it. So the first way to view it is that the Jews as a whole, if you look at all the Jewish people, there are different groups. There are actually many, and they really have to do with which country that person and their family was from. I think it's very important to note that the differences are overrated. They're not really that important. Our similarities are much more important than our differences. But overall, there's the Ashkenazi Jews, which means Jews from Europe, Eastern Europe. I know I'm not discussing the historical accuracy. I'm just discussing the way it's conventionally used today. So that when people say Ashkenazi Jews, they mean European Jews, basically Jews from Christian countries. And Sephardi Jews are Jews from Middle Eastern, North Africa, Islamic countries. Okay, Iraq, Iran, Morocco, Syria, places like that. It's just really, again, where you're from. That ended up developing into, because they were separated, these two communities, and didn't have so much overlap. Occasionally, people would travel, but obviously travel is much more difficult for many, many years. And so they developed separately. There was correspondence, and there's a lot of, you can see that in books, a correspondence between the two groups. But overall, they were separate groups, and that just made it, I think the biggest difference is cultural differences, okay? Whether Ashkenazi Jews like gefilte fish, let's say, and Sephardic Jews like schug, like spicy foods. Their dress, each group will dress closer to their host country. Their music, things like that. There are halachic, meaning legal, differences between the two groups. And that's just the development. That's maybe a different discussion of how halacha develops, how Jewish law develops. But Jewish law is a vibrant, live body of work. And so it's constantly developing. And so because they developed separately, occasionally there are differences in law. Nothing to do even with their culture. That's just the way the community in one place developed and felt, and the rabbis in one place felt one way about some topic, and in another place they felt another way. Maybe you can explain it into the culture, or maybe you wouldn't be able to. There's the Nusach Ashkenaz and the Nusach Sfard. And those are like within the Sfardi, within the Ashkenazi world, different versions of the prayer. They're really, really very minor differences, but they develop different countries, had their own way of praying. And there's not just these two. There really could be many, many. But because these are like the largest, broadest groups, they developed separately, and they have their own sitter, their own prayer book most places you go. You know, really every family, every community could be like, well, we have this slight difference and we'll make our own prayer book. But that's very difficult to make. And sometimes even in one prayer book, you'll see some people say this, some people don't. They're not going to make a whole new prayer book because people are omitting one paragraph. It just, again, most of this is, like we understood last time, these are songs. We're trying to prepare exactly which songs to say and what order to say. We can explain it. I don't think it's so important for the purposes of our class. But just to know, we're going to use one of the versions. It got this name, this confusing name of Svar. They probably could have picked another name because it was developed by the Arizal, I think he's 15th century Kabbalist living in Tzfat, who was in Israel, who was trying to merge the two versions of the Siddur, the Ashkenazi and Sephardi. So he basically took an Ashkenazi Siddur and took on Sephardic undertones, more because the Sephardic had a Kabbalistic influence, and so he wanted to bring in that Kabbalistic influence. There's more to that. I'm not saying that the whole story, but that's where it got that name, so that Nusach Svard, but it's really an Ashkenazi version. We're actually using, just because this is the prayer book I have and the page number I've been using until now, it's Ashkenaz. So it's an Ashkenaz book, but it's also Nusach Ashkenaz. So if you're using a different book, you'll have a slight different order. Again, personally in my life, I have it in a slightly different order. But we'll just use this version, and we'll explain it based on that version. And with that, we are ready to begin our Psukei d'Zimra. And like I explained, in these podcasts, we're going to try to keep it simpler, and we're going to make separate, more advanced versions, really getting into the nitty-gritty of what each word means and how to understand it. This first paragraph, we're on page 55, 54 in the Hebrew, 55 in the English. It's connected. Actually, if you remember, we're coming right off the sacrifices. That was the latest discussion, which we kind of skipped over, but that was the place. And this next prayer starts off a song for you, the inauguration of the temple. Okay, the sacrifices were obviously brought in the temple. And so this song is for that. Now, what is this first prayer about, this first song, what is it about? I saw it, a very beautiful idea I want to share with you. And it was in this book by Rabbi Miller. I think I mentioned him before, a rabbi from Brooklyn. Passed away, oh gosh, I don't even know, 20 years ago. And he had a very deep understanding of every step of the prayer. This book is called Rabbi Avigdor Miller on Tefillah, on prayer. And so it's written in question and answer format. So the question that was asked to him was, is there a particular parak of Tehillim that teaches us not to take our success and tranquility for granted? Okay, that means, is there a particular, I'll read that again. Is there a particular chapter of Tehillim that teaches us not to take our success for granted? And he chooses this paragraph. He says, yeah, this paragraph is exactly the one. To me, that's a perfect start for the day. You know, a lot of times we're feeling our prayers are there to help us in our time of need. But as I saw, the line goes that we don't pray because we're in need. Hashem gives us needs so that we pray. I'll say that again. It's not that we pray when we have needs, but we have needs so that we pray. Hashem purposely put that in. There's a lot of hints to this. I think we've mentioned this before. This is why the land of Israel is rain dependent. There's no strong river there. God says, I want you to be in a country where you're not just going to be satisfied and say, hey, there's plenty of water, we're okay, but you'll need the rain. And Hashem made that need so that we would connect him and daven and ask him. This is why the many great women in the Torah had trouble with having children, because Hashem says, okay, I'm making you a need so that you'll pray. I know. Okay, so this is the idea. All of our needs, whether it's money or other things, we turn to Hashem. Now, what do we do when we feel like we don't really have needs, that we're doing fine? This is especially a problem every morning. I mean, this is the blessing of the morning, that no matter what went on, we wake up in the morning like, oh, we're doing good. Everything looks wonderful, and we got this. But there's a downside of that. where you say, okay, you, it's hard to daven then. It's only like midway through the day when you're like, oh, I really need Hashem's help. This, everything's falling apart. Nothing's working out. You know, it's every day, but that's the blessing. And in this way, I guess something negative about it. How are we going to daven properly? And it's with this we introduce this paragraph of Tefillah. So I want to bring your attention to a few of the sentences. Rav Miller explains that this is talking about midway through David's life. So let me give you a little bit of the background of what was going on through his life. He grew up, had a tough beginning. There were a lot of rumors and suspicions of who his father was, what the story was there. Kind of shunned by his brothers. He was a shepherd, but not much else. Eventually, he made a name for himself with the famous story of Goliath. But still, you know, not totally accepted. Certainly wouldn't thought to be the ultimate king. Even when he was chosen as king, his own father-in-law, who was the previous king, Shaul, had it out for him and was always chasing him and really attacking him. Eventually, Shaul was killed and David became the king. And he had a moment there of peace. And he said, okay, it's all good. I know I had a tough beginning, but it finally is all worth it. And I am the king and I have everything my heart desires. And it's this time of day when there are no needs in his life. And I guess there's less of a need for prayer. And with this, we read the sentence from this paragraph. It's on the second line. I'm sorry, in the English, it's the fourth line. Vani amarti b'shalvi bal emet le'olam. I said in my peace and my serenity, I will never falter, I'll never stumble. Hashem b'tzoncha hemadeta la'ari'oz. But then he continues that really the next thing that happened to him in life is one of the most terrible things, which is that his very own son, Avshalom, rebelled against him and started a whole movement where there was a whole split in the kingdom. So he turns to Hashem, Asher b'tzoncha amadeti la'ari oz, hastarti panacha yisinivol. You're the one who keeps me in strength, and if you were to hide your face, I would be... what did he say? Stricken with terror, I'd be astounded. Basically saying, and this is the message, the first prayer that we're trying to say, is that Hashem, I know I'm calm and things seem fine, but honestly, if you're with you, I can do anything, and without you, I can't do anything. So there's definitely what to daven for, and that is what Redovid reminded himself, and that's what we remind ourselves as we enter into this prayer. Okay, let's get into the next prayer, which is the first bracha. It's called Baruch Sha'amar. In our books, it's page 58 and 59. A little bit about the laws of this part of the prayer. We're saying a blessing. The Psukei Dezimra starts with a blessing, ends with a blessing about the songs I'm going to sing, blessing about the mitzvah I'm about to do of praising Hashem. And like we discussed before, blessing is a moment to concentrate and focus on what I'm about to do. There is a law here that there is no talking after this point. Okay, this is important. I think this is a confusing point. People show up in shul and guys will, you know, the natives, the regulars will come over and start talking to you. And you say, oh, I guess in a synagogue you're allowed to talk during prayers. And so then you start talking to them and they look at you like eyes wide. Shh, you know, can't talk now. And so the secret is that there are parts of prayer where there's talking is like really forbidden. You cannot talk. There are parts that it depends, and there are parts that are more lenient and everyone seems to be talking. So those in the know where and when. So we'll try to reveal that a little bit on this podcast. The idea is just about focus. If this is a more, I don't want to say important, but I will say an important part, a more focused part, or a part that requires greater concentration and so then there's no talking. This prayer specifically, there's no talking. Actually, by us Ashkenazim, we stand up for this prayer. That also gives it a bit of significance. There is a custom that the men who are wearing tzitzis or a talis will gather their tzitzis at this point, and they will say this prayer. Now, there's actually a legend that surrounds this prayer that the men of the Great Assembly, when they were going to put together the siddur that we know, the prayers, this blessing fell from a paper from heaven. And they read it and they loved it and they included it in their prayers. So, you know, take it or leave it. But that is the story. That is a legend that they had. Either way, it is definitely a beautiful blessing. There's actually a line of introduction, which is like, you know, it kind of builds on the concept of prayer, of blessing, where I'm preparing for what I'm about to do, but you prepare for what you're preparing. I'm about to say the blessing, which is about to get me into the Psuki de Zimra. And like we said, we're not going to go through every single word, but there are two halves to this blessing. The first one blesses Hashem. And we already, in the song earlier, much earlier, of Adon Olam, we discussed the descriptions of Hashem. But here we're going to do it in a different format, blessing Hashem in 10 different ways, describing Hashem. And essentially it understands that Hashem, the name of Hashem, the concept of Hashem, a God, a monotheistic God, where there's one God. So that means a few things. He was, is, and will be. And he doesn't need anything or anybody. And he'll take care of everybody. He always did take care of everybody. And he always will take care of everything. So let's read that. And with that appreciation, we'll read these 10 things. Baruch Sha'amar Vayolam. Blessed is the one who said and the world came to be. So God spoke and created the world. We know that he said, let there be light. And there was light. It's through speaking that God created the world. It's, of course, the significance of speech and why we use it for prayer. Baruch Hu. Blessed is he. Number two, Baruch Ose Bereshis, the one who makes beginnings. Baruch Omer Va'osa, so this is going back on was. He created everything, and he did that through his speech. Baruch Gozer Umakayim, he continues to create things. He makes decrees and fulfills them, so that till today, what's happening, it wasn't just that he created something once upon a time, but till today, the things that he speaks are fulfilled. Baruch Merachem ala Aretz, it's almost like a second side. There's a mercy. Besides what he says needs to be, he has this mercy and love for all of creation. Baruch Merachem ala Brios, he has mercy on creatures. Baruch Misham Sachatov Lureyev, he pays reward to those who are good, to those who fear him. Baruch Chai La'ad V'Kaim LaNetzach, he lives forever and stands for eternity. So this is the future aspect, Baruch Podo Matzel, and he redeems and saves. So this, you know, it fitting together with the eternal nature of God is the kindness of God. This is all fitting into the terms, the four-letter name of Hashem that we don't pronounce. And so we're talking to Hashem, realizing who he is, and we finish Baruch Shemo. His name is blessed in a way we know that name that we don't pronounce. Everything we've been saying and adding description to who he is, these 9 terms, all fall short. There is a name, there's an aspect that we have no idea, no understanding, and we'll just appreciate the name that's certainly part of the concept of Hashem. So this is, an elaborate understanding of the four-letter name and all that it implies. And we're blessing it. We are blessing. We are admitting that he is the source of all blessing. And here we get into the blessing of the song itself, after we acknowledge Hashem. Baruch atah Hashem Elokeinu melech haolam, hakel ha'ov harachamon hamehul b'fe'amoy. So we're describing him within the context of song. God, you are praised by his nation. The Jews praise God more than anyone else. Meshubach u'mefor b'loshon chasid v'avadav. What's more, besides being praised by his nation, he is exceedingly praised by those who are his chassidim, which means his devout ones, his servants, uvishiri David avdecha, and the songs of David. We're about to use all the songs of David, and Tehillim was not just David. It was compiled by David, but written by many great lovers of Hashem. And so we're using the songs that he used. And so we say, blessed are you, Hashem, who is praised by everyone, and praised by David and all these devout servants of yours. In Tehillim, Nahalelcha, we should praise you, Hashem Elokeinu, b'shvachos of his mirrors, with songs. We should make you great. So the songs make you great. And we explained earlier that Hashem doesn't really need us to make him great. And how can we even make him great? But that is the process that he created. It's that we making space for him, and therefore he appears. He is wherever we allow him to be. So by us allowing him to be great, he is great. Malkinu Elohinu Yachid Chei Olamim, singular, one living forever, Melech Meshubach Mefore Adayad Shemo Gadol, Baruch Atah Hashem. So again, continuing this king who is eternally praised. So it's the blessing is about how Hashem is praised, because we're about to go into the praising. Blessed are you, Hashem. Melech Mehulo Batish Bachos, the king who is lauded with praises. Okay, so with this we begin, we enter, if you remember that example, we're entering into that entranceway. This is the door, is the Baruch Shamar. So just to review, we learned about the different versions of the Siddur, the different groups of Jews, and how unimportant that is, but it is good to know. And we learned about this first song of Mizmor Shir, which really tells us why we should be feeling like we need something, even if we currently don't need anything. And then we make the blessing that introduces us, which, like every blessing, is allowing us to focus on what we're about to do, which is to sing to Hashem. Okay, thank you very much. Thank you very much for listening. For questions, comments, and sponsorship opportunities, please email us at rabbilindenbaum@gmail.com. We'll see you next week.